It is time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. It's Masters Week. It is National Championship tonight. Fun time to be alive, as they say. How you doing tonight there, Tana Man?
Doing good, J-Man. Like you said, it's a fun time. April's a good sports month, even though like I used to think otherwise maybe because it's end of college basketball and I'm not the biggest baseball fan or as big of a fan as I used to be, I should say. But you got the Masters NFL draft at the end of the month to round things out, which I need to start working on a mock draft. I have not done a very good job even keeping up with that this year. So yeah, man, it's a spring weather starting to come around a little bit. So
yeah,
I need a mow.
Really? Already there, huh?
I would say with the amount of rain we got in the last week, probably not this week, but maybe next week. The grass is really, really green and getting pretty tall.
Yeah, it's reaching that time of the year. We have on the forecast. We always talk about the weather because we're old.
I know.
we're our
comfort of the intro.
But yeah, this week it looks like it's supposed to be in the 40s, at least here.
Yeah,
the majority of the week, and then by the end of the week in the 60s, and potentially 70, and hopefully it'll stay right there. Yeah,
sure would be nice.
Yeah, NFL draft only 2 weeks away. It's kind of snuck up on me.
It really has. And I think we kind of know who's going to go number one, but besides that, there's not a lot set in stone. So,
no, and honestly, I haven't done a great job of following it either. I used to be like huge into the NFL draft, and I still am big into it, but I don't really follow the stuff leading up to as much as I used to.
Right.
And once it comes, it'll give us a nice little taste of football, and hopefully our teams can improve from last year.
The NFL is kind of, I mean, it's kind of quiet right now. Uh-huh. But the big clouds, when's Aaron Rodgers going to make up his mind? That's the, but I guess he's got no reason to rush the decision.
Right.
As long as the Steelers are willing to be patient with him. So,
yeah, it's reached the point where it's like, might as well wait till after the draft now. See what's even open out there. But it could be the end of Aaron Rodgers. And you know what I say? Good riddance to the guy if it is the end of him. So
I think one of my bold predictions would, unless he'd retire, but if I had to place a bet right now, I think he'll be Pittsburgh starter week one.
It seems like that's about the only spot that he could be. So Rodgers kind of has all the leverage at this point because he's I could sit the year out even if you don't pay me what I want. I'm sure he's going to want a massive at least maybe it'd probably only be a 1 year deal, I imagine, but I bet he'll want 30 plus 40 million, which would be absurd for a guy like that.
In Pittsburgh, what are they going to do otherwise? It's either Mason Rudolph or draft somebody.
Yeah. And they never pick in a great spot in the draft to take quarterback. They're usually like 16th to 24th in the draft, feels like. And I assume that's where they are this year too. They make the playoffs.
Yes,
that's what I thought. So they're probably picking 19th or 20th, I imagine, or near there, which is not a great spot to pick a quarterback, especially in a draft where it doesn't seem like it's a great quarterback draft on the surface as far as depth goes. Maybe the top end guys are pretty good, but the depth is where you worry. And honestly, outside of like Lamar Jackson. When's the last time we've seen a really good quarterback taken in the first round that was not in the top 10, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good. Well, I mean, it still might maybe a little early, but Bo Nix wasn't in top 10.
He's got to play a few years.
He's not Lamar level, but.
No, but I mean, I'm thinking of guys that have been in the league at least 5 years, more so than.
Okay. No, you got a point.
And I mean, Bo Nix, in my opinion, is pretty much just, Mac Jones like, and, let's see who's the other guy that somebody compared him to on Twitter last year? It was Mac Jones. I remember.
Yeah. Oh man. I don't remember.
There was somebody else that kind of was like a Mac Jones type, but I can't remember who that is either. But,
I can't,
So.
Yeah, good stuff. But I did bring Birdie or Bogey with me this evening. I thought, you know, tonight's national championship game, so it'd be fitting to wrap up with one more birdie or bogey college basketball themed birdie or bogey. Now I got to find my question here. Who is the oldest coach to win a championship in men's college basketball?
I have no idea. Oldest coach. How old's Calvin Sampson? He's got to be close to 70, right?
Yeah, let's see here. He's definitely in the upper 60s. Let's see what good old snake oil Sampsonite. 69. He'll be 70 in October. All
right, so he will be 70 this year. I literally just saw before we got on the show, it was on Twitter. It was he has a clause in his contract that he can name a coach in waiting, and it's likely be his son, Kellen, which there haven't been too many, sons following their dads that have been overly successful in both either college football or college basketball at this point.
No.
The last, coach in waiting, I would say, that has been successful was John Shire. Regardless of how that game ended. But oldest coach to win a national title. I have no clue. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Great food, casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yeah, I ate lunch there on Saturday. Well, you know, technically Dreddy's lunch, but in the banquet room at Arlington, which is always nice. But over the weekend, they had another seafood special. They had fresh swordfish served over a bed of fluffy white rice topped with vibrant capers, red peppers, sauteed spinach, and finished with a rich lemon butter sauce. So, they'll probably be rounding up here with the next 2 weeks with the seafood specials.
When's the last time you've been fishing?
I think I wasn't even 10 years old, I don't think.
I went a few years ago. I'm embarrassed to admit, but I don't like taking the fish off the hook, and I don't like putting the worm on the hook. So I had my daddy do that for me.
I don't have a problem with the worm, but I'm with you with the fish. Yeah, I don't really like taking it off the hook.
I think I can handle the fish. It's the worm. I don't know. It freaks me out.
I don't have the patience to fish.
I think I could sit there all day and do nothing and fish. It's just all the guts and the touching things that would
nature.
Get me. Nature would get me, but I could, you know, I don't even have to fish. I could just sit on a boat for hours and think and do nothing.
Maybe have a couple cold pops.
Maybe a couple cold pops. But yeah, not a fishing guy.
I like to eat fish though.
I don't even like that, but I was thinking deep sea fish and catch myself a swordfish. But again, wouldn't like it.
I'd pay to see that.
Come on. There's no way.
Grab you right in the neck.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, the swordfish would flop on the boat and somehow pierce my heart or something, and that'd be the end of the Tan and J Man show right
there.
Yeah,
that'd be a heck of a way to go out. Oh man. But let's get right into it. You kind of mentioned it when you're talking about Kelvin Sampson. We know the national championship tonight is between Houston and Florida. Two good teams, two one seeds, two teams who have been two of the better teams overall for a majority of the season, but it's still weird to see that matchup as the national championship matchup. Fourth time in our lifetime that Florida's been in the national title. They're 2-1 in the previous three. First time that Houston has been in our lifetime. I don't know how many times. I know that was their sixth Final Four they had made in school history. I don't know how many times they've been to the title game now. Kelvin Sampson's finally made it. He had never made it to a title game. But, man, I mean, great job by Houston defense creating some pressure on the press and the inbounds. But what a choke job by Duke.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. I was surprised because I went to bed. I checked the score. I think Duke was up 11 with about 10 minutes left. I figured it was over. I still think Duke's probably the best team in the country.
Yep.
But again, you got to play all 40 minutes, and they only made one field goal the final 10 minutes of that game. And Cooper Flagg wasn't able to get it done. And Houston, that defense is a bear. I mean, you saw it firsthand just, 10 days ago, 9 days ago. When they turn up that pressure, it's hard to get anything going. And that's one of the best offenses in college basketball that they essentially shut down in Duke. So now Duke over the past 10 years has recruited 32 5-stars and have won 0 titles.
That's pretty crazy.
So, and I think this is their best team since their 2015 title team. Yeah. And I would even venture to say that this team might even be a little better than that 2015 team.
Yep.
With Ja Okafor and Tyus Jones. But yeah, credit Houston. They feel like a team of destiny. They had the moment against Purdue where it seems like a lot of title teams do have that sort of moment. Of course, UConn's team last year just ran through everybody. But we saw it with, you know, a couple years ago, Kansas, when they had to come back from, what was it, 15 down at half and the national title game. We saw, you know, I mean, but Virginia.
Oh, yeah. In 2019, they're the one that comes right to my mind. Yep. They should have lost Elite Eight, should have lost Final Four, should have lost championship, found a way to win all three of them.
Yep. So it feels like Houston's a team of destiny, and Florida's tough, though. They can score a ton of points. Walter Clayton Jr. is arguably one of the I would say he's a top two guard in the country, him and Braden Smith. And you could argue that Clayton could be the best guard in the country. And he has been on an absolute tear in the postseason. But as they did to Braden, they are going to turn up that heat on Clayton. And, you know, Braden didn't score against Houston. I think he had, what it was, 7 points, something like that.
Yeah, 15 assists.
He had 15 assists, only 3 turnovers. So Clayton's more of a scoring guard than Braden is. And, I mean, he'd scored, what was it, 31 against Auburn in the semifinal game. And it'll be a fascinating matchup to watch because Houston is old. Florida's pretty old, too, though. So seniors die hard, as they say. Actually, they don't say. John Gross used to say that. Seniors die hard. And it'll be fun to watch it play out tonight.
Ray Davis here on Facebook. He's the coach of the McConaughey girls basketball team. He said Florida by eight or more.
Oh.
So I Florida is a 1.5-point favorite tonight. Yeah. So
yeah, it'll be two clash of styles for sure. Yep. Houston's so old and they're athletic and that pressure is ridiculous. And they block shots and steals. And so if Florida can just take care of the ball, I think they should win. Because on paper, Florida's probably a little better. But as I said, feels like Houston's team of destiny.
Well, Florida doesn't panic when they get down. No. Because it looked like Auburn was in control going into half the other day and even coming out second half. But Florida didn't panic. And Houston didn't panic against Duke either. Yeah. You know, it's... I didn't watch much of the Florida-Auburn game, but I watched pretty much the second half of the Duke-Houston game pretty full. Like you said, when you went to sleep, they're up 11. They're up 11 at one point when Mason Gillis got his one bit of run in the second half. Mason was trying to box out a guy. His elbow got a little high, elbowed him, flagrant foul. That turned into 6 points, and it kind of flipped the momentum in Houston's way, even though Duke would get back up by 9. But just the momentum never really got back in the driver's seat for Duke, which is unfortunate for Mason and probably how Duke fans will remember him and look at him now, looking back at it. But you look at the different things. Duke was up 6 with 33 seconds left.
Yeah.
They still had a chance to ice it at the end, up 1, Proctor going to the line. I didn't realize how poor of a foul shooter he is.
He's a great 3-point shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. 64% from the line, at least in the tournament, I think it was. And you could tell when he was going to the line, he didn't want any part of it. Clinked off the back of the rim. And then 20 seconds left, they called that foul on the defensive rebound attempt by Cooper Flagg, which I'm like, I don't know if they would have called that at the start of second half. I was surprised they called it with 20 seconds left. Houston makes the free throws when they need to. Cooper couldn't hit the little turnaround jumper from 10 to 12 feet. And that was that. So,
yeah, I'm going to contradict myself a little bit because I said, you know, Houston feels like a team of destiny. Florida was down by 9 against Texas Tech with 2 minutes left, came back and won.
True.
And down by 9 in the second half against Auburn. So at the same time, you could say they feel like a team of destiny as well. So two teams of destinies kind of coming together here, which will make hopefully for a good, entertaining national title game.
Yeah, the Final Four games both were really good, compared to the women's, which were all blowouts.
Yeah, UConn won for the first time since when?
21-22, I believe.
Okay, I thought it was longer ago.
It was the 13th in school history, and they just crushed UCLA and crushed South Carolina.
Yeah, which was surprising.
It's a two seed.
Yeah, yeah. Paige, how do you pronounce her last name? Buckers? Beckers?
I call her Buckets because that's her nickname.
Paige Buckets. It's good enough for me. It feels like she's been around for 10 years because she pretty much has, because she blew out her knee and missed an entire season. Missed a season and a half, essentially. She turned out to be one of the greatest UConn women's basketball players ever.
Man, that's I'm not a big women's college basketball fan, or don't pay close enough attention to it to have a to and raise. Correct me, it's 12th in school history, not 13th seed. I shouldn't say I'm not big fan. I don't pay close enough attention to really have too many opinions when it comes to legends of the game. But you talk about a program, it'd be tough to categorize their legends into a Mount Rushmore. It'd be UConn women's basketball.
It'd be almost impossible. Yeah. I mean, you got obviously Diana Taurasi, you have Maya Moore, you have
Sue Bird,
Paige, so many others that I'm forgetting. Breanna Stewart. And I'm sure there's countless others that I can't even think of.
Their head coach has to be first on the mound.
He's got to be on the mound too. Yeah. That might be the hardest Mount Rushmore to decipher out of any maybe sports franchise, even pro or college.
Yeah, that'd be a good discussion someday. Thinking of others.
Yeah.
That'd be tough. Yankees would be tough. Never down to four. Lakers.
I think I could do the Yankees pretty easily.
Really? Who?
Oh, yeah. Ruth Gehrig. I'm trying to think of all the players that have ever played for the Yankees.
I mean, you got Mantle, Jeter, Rivera.
Ruth Gehrig, Mantle, DiMaggio.
Okay.
Send it in.
Okay.
I wouldn't even put Jeter in the top 30.
Indie football might be tough because it goes back so
yeah,
so ways. Lakers would be tough, I think.
Magic, Kareem, George Mikan.
George Mikan over Shaq?
I'd take George Mikan over Shaq on the... Well, I mean,
you're not going to leave Kobe off, are you?
No, I'm going to put Kobe there on the fourth.
But you're not going to put LeBron up there?
I'm just thinking of like their career with the Lakers.
Okay. Well, LeBron's got a title with the Lakers.
He does. He hasn't been there that long though.
Yeah.
He hasn't been there long enough, in my opinion. He has one title and he's also missed the playoffs a few times too. It was a bubble title, so every title that year, in my opinion, gets an asterisk.
No Jerry West.
I guess that's a tough one. He is the logo.
That would be an interesting podcast. Go through and do a lot of different Mount Rushmores.
Well, summer's coming, so
we need some filler content.
Yeah,
yes. Yeah. But circling back, college basketball. Golf would be a tough one, like Ray said. Yeah, because everybody's got their own opinions.
Yeah,
You're always gonna leave somebody good off. So this last game of the season, the Crown Championship was won by Nebraska yesterday over Central Florida, which the Crown was better than the NIT, a little more.
The NIT, in my opinion, was better. Did you see the title game of the NIT?
I didn't watch it.
I only saw the highlights. It was between Chattanooga and some other mid-major. Oh, shoot. Anyway.
Well, wasn't your wife's alma mater in the NIT or the CBI?
Couldn't tell you.
I think they were in the championship of something.
She didn't tune in other words. Chattanooga, who was in the NIT? That makes me mad. The final was 1 point, was the final. I think it was 84-83 or 85-84, something like that. Chattanooga was in it, I know for a fact. It was, well, maybe if I can find it. Was it North Texas in Chattanooga?
Of course it was North Texas.
No, it wasn't North Texas. I think it was the NIT. I don't know why it's not giving me a good. Well, I don't know.
I think Illinois State was in the CBI.
Couldn't tell you.
They were in the CBI. I'm pretty sure they made the title game.
NIT Championship. Now I'm curious to this. Who was in the? It was in Indianapolis this year.
Sean Coleman said UC Irvine.
Okay, that makes sense. Cause yeah. It was UC Irvine, Chattanooga. Cause UC Irvine was right on that bubble. And I don't even know why I brought this up. Cause I don't know the I don't know the specifics. All I know is I think they threw it the length of the court and they laid it in as time expired. Whoever won, Chattanooga or UC Irvine. I'm pretty sure it was Chattanooga that won. It was Chattanooga. Yeah, 85-84 in OT.
I guess. What I was trying to say about the crown was the tournament itself was more intriguing than NIT. I want to talk about the final.
I also disagree with you because you had a bunch of crap high majors in the crown.
We're playing for money, so the players are playing hard.
But everyone was transferring at that point. You probably had 8 players on a roster. The NIT, at least it's mid-majors that just missed the tourney. UC Irvine won like 32 games this year. Chattanooga won almost 30 games. So that's why I think it was more real barn burner. Thanks, Sheldon.
Yeah, but they probably have guys transferring too.
They probably do, NIT. But I'd rather watch a 30-win UC Irvine than a 17-win Butler or 15-win. I probably gave him too many wins, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
15-win Butler and a 17-win Nebraska, my opinion. I'll be honest, I'm not going to watch either of them because I don't care. Right. So I don't even know why we talk about this. Thanks, Tanner, for bringing it up.
I got you fired up. That was my goal tonight. How am I going to get J-Man fired up tonight? Read up the crown.
Connor Asijan, that's the Nebraska guy.
Yes, and for everybody listening to the podcast, for context there, Ray Davis on Facebook asked, Nebraska being led in scoring by Indiana high school player and transfer from Wisconsin, name him. And J-Man just
Connor Asijan. I think he had 20 in that game off the bench. He's a good shooter.
Sheldon must have watched the NIT championship because he said a guy missed a literal uncut.
It was the exact opposite of what I said because now I remember they had to throw it the length of the court. They were down one and the guy biffed an uncontested layup. So,
boo!
I almost was there. I knew it was a barn burner. I knew it was something with uncontested layup.
We are awesome at this.
Yeah, I'm never watching the NIT. I'd struggle to watch the crown if Illinois was in it. If Illinois is ever in,
I was thinking the same of Purdue the other day, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope now that Illinois has won a little bit here the past 6 seasons or so that they would just say, I'm okay.
Yeah, Indiana does every 3 years.
Yeah, so, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Josh's train of thoughts on the subject. I don't know what to do in my hands.
Yeah, that's it was kind of the Michael Scott where sometimes I start a sentence and hope to find it along the way sort of deal.
It's my everyday life, so I
never got there today. Yeah, so
close. Close.
So close.
Transfer portal though still going hot and heavy.
Huh?
I think the window ends on the 22nd. I believe. Both Purdue and Illinois have been affected by the transfer portal. Purdue lost Miles Colvin first went into the portal, followed by Camden Heidi. Camden Heidi announced where he was going first by announcing Friday he was going to Texas. Miles Colvin announced today he's going to Wake Forest. So interesting fits for both. Staying in the Power Four, both of them.
I think Colvin will be able to put up a lot of shots at Wake Forest.
I think that's what he's looking for.
And seems like that would be what he's looking for. And Heidi, good bench guy for sure. I don't think they'll start for him or anything, but good athlete, can shoot it a little bit.
Definitely goes from a coach who runs things a certain way to a coach who runs things a different sort of certain way from Matt Painter to Sean Miller.
So yeah,
we'll say it like that. But I'll be interested to follow those guys, and I hope they both do well. Mm-hmm. I have no hard feelings to either one of them. I don't think Purdue will lose anybody else to the portal, I should say. I do think Braden Smith will put his name into the NBA combine to see where he stands. Mm-hmm. And unless he somehow finds out he's a guaranteed first rounder, I expect him back at Purdue.
Yeah.
So
last I heard on Braden was, I think it was Sam Vecini. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name. Had him, which he's kind of one of the top guys as far as like I follow when it comes to the NBA. And he had Braden slotted like in 35th to 45th.
Pick. I'd come back to college and get that money.
Yeah, which those guys get guaranteed contracts there, but they're not going to make as much as he would at Purdue probably next season.
Yeah.
Or anywhere in college.
I think he made a little north of $1 million this year. So
yeah, which I think that's be about what he makes as a guaranteed sort of deal in that range of the second round. So I think he'd be smart to come back.
Sean Shriver on Facebook, who do you think will seek Heidi?
That's
good joke there.
It's a classic Sean joke there.
He got sought by Texas. So is that the right
hide and seek. He was found
by Texas. There you go. I don't know. Ray on Facebook. Now there is a transfer portal on Indiana High School Athletics. One time transfer, no question, goes into effect June 1st. Yeah. And he says coaches still can't influence, though.
Hmm. They can't, but I'm sure.
And I guess my question to Ray is, especially, I think we've talked about this either on the podcast or outside the podcast. Like, I guess if they get caught, they get in trouble. But what's stopping a college coach, or especially in football, like a college offensive coordinator, if they can get two quarterback and a wide receiver, say from the state of Indiana at different schools, what's to stop them from saying, hey, you should go play the same school so you can develop that chemistry before you even step on foot in the campus in the fall?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's a wild time we live in. Wild times anymore. Where
so much gray area.
Transfer window one time in high school sports. Crazy. It's crazy. But Illinois has been affected by the portal a little bit too.
Yeah. Merez Johnson was the big one. I wish him nothing but the worst, honestly. The way
he went to Michigan?
Well, the way he handled it on the way out was poor. His dad said some things that were stupid. Trey White going to Kansas, you know, best of luck to him. He'll be a bench guy there. He supposedly wanted the ball in his hands a lot next season. That just wasn't going to happen. And then Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, he handled it very classy on his way out. Thanked the coaches, thanked the fans, showed up at an elementary school that same day to do an appearance. He said, this is the best thing for my career, but I'll be forever indebted to Illinois Nation, stuff like that. So I'm wishing him well, because he seems like a really good kid with a crazy mother.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't think he's the problem in that circle.
Illinois lose anyone else? They lost
do you expect anybody to go pro?
KJ's gone. Like, he hasn't announced it yet. I imagine Will Riley will put his name into the draft just to see where he is. But there is buzz that Illinois could get a second year of Will Riley, which would be awesome. I would be pumped to see second year Will Riley, to see how he plays, because he was really good at the end of the year. A V6 back. They picked up a V6 twin brother, Zyamir or something like that, from Arkansas. And then sounds like they're going to go the European route for another guy, power forward, who I cannot wait until Brad Underwood compares him to Jokic, because he will. He's 6'9", 250.
Best basketball player in the world.
Can shoot it, can pass it, but Brad will compare him to Jokic. He compared Mark Smith to Darren Williams, and he compared...
Needs to stop that.
I know. It's a running joke on the Illinois message boards of who's he going to compare this guy to? And then he compared Andre Curbelo to Steve Nash. So
he can be very good players without needing the pressure of those comparisons.
So hopefully Illinois doesn't go the NAIA route again, like they did with Ben Humrickhouse, which he might be a guy that leaves, I think they'll have an honest conversation with him and try to lessen that price tag of what they got him. But again, I thought he played very well in his role. They just needed him to be a lot more early in the season with his ability to shoot and other things like that. But once he started coming off the bench, he was perfect playing 10 to 15 minutes. That's seems about where he should be. And again, he seems like a good guy too. But yeah, I'm sure they'll pick up a few more guys in the portal. And, you know, one thing I will always do is give Brad Underwood the benefit of the doubt, because year in, year out, they'll be about the same. Good, compete for a Big Ten title, make the NCAA tourney. So I'm not – just tell me what the roster is November 1st, and we'll go from there.
Sean Shriver here says, Tanner, I thought you'd make an off-the-cluff Purdue's new portal pickup. Yes, yeah. Oscar Clough, big man from South Dakota State. Previously, before there, he was at Washington State. He's got 1 year of eligibility, maybe two, because the JUCO rules are so weird now.
Yeah, it's weird.
But they're let's be honest, they're paying him for 1 year.
Yeah.
Paying him a good sum of money. They got him over Iowa State. He should be their starting center with Daniel Jacobson as the backup. So I feel a lot better about the front end, and Trakov and Rendell move back to the four. Feel a lot better about their front line than I did just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it looks like Matt's going to fill another spot or two with some European guys.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. European. I mean, I think it's starting to be the way to go. Gonzaga did it for years. And right. No one else really did it, but now it's starting to become more popular. And those guys are so skilled over there.
Yep.
And Illinois was benefited greatly by foreigners this year. So, and with Oscar Clough, one thing Purdue needed to do better, and I think every Purdue fan can agree, they needed to rebound better this past season. And Clough averaged, what, around 11 rebounds a game last year?
Yeah, I think a little north of 12. And and he, like, of course, he was playing lower competition
right.
The Summit, but when he did play Alabama, he went for 21-13 against them. So, yeah, and just to have a guy, I mean, he's not a huge shot blocker, but just to have a guy around the rim to make people even alter their shots.
Yeah.
That's big, because Purdue didn't have that this year. So,
can he shoot the three ball at all?
He's a good free throw shooter, but I don't think he can shoot the three ball. Now, Daniel Jacobson can.
Oh,
just didn't really get to see much of it, since he only played two games before.
It'll be interesting to see how TKR and Clough coexist with neither of them being 3-point shooters. I know I'm sure both can hit them, but you don't want them taking them a ton.
Right. Ray asks, Edwards recruiting for paint. I don't know about that. He's ripping it up over in Europe right now. but I do know the big European influence has been Sasha Stevanovic, who's a GA for him, or he might even have an elevator role now. He's been he's got connections over there in Europe. So, yeah, he's really helped in that aspect. So, it'll be interesting to see all the transactions, the movement in the portal.
Yeah. And especially with the new thing with where they can share the wealth. I'm struck.
That's happened today.
Revenue sharing.
Yeah.
How that will affect NIL and all of that, because I think it might start putting caps on NIL, which could help.
Yep.
Could help even things out again, because they need something.
I think Purdue, like, for instance, I think the four programs will get a majority of the money. Football, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Illinois, but I know, like, in Iowa, you probably subtract one of those and substitute with wrestling.
Yeah. I would say, obviously, the top two for all of them is going to be basketball and football.
Sure.
And then I would say women's basketball, and then
Volleyball's
pretty good. Baseball's okay. Maybe golf. I don't know.
See, golf's pretty good, but I don't know how much. I don't know how that NIL works.
I don't either.
Andrew Eiler on.
Yeah, I can't imagine NIL is huge for.
Sheldon Coleman being the researcher of the pod. Appreciate him tuning in tonight. Clough went 4 for 6 or 5 for 7 for threes. Gonna make it rain.
Yeah, that's a pretty good percentage. Low volume, but good percentage.
At least he
can make enough to at least have them respect him from out there. That's all you really need.
I'll never forget Nankaville for Wisconsin coming to the Mackey one time, going 5 for 5, never made one in his career.
There were a couple. Illinois got burned a bunch this year by sagging off guys. There was a guy for I think it was AG. I don't remember if that was him from USC. He had made four on the season, and he ended up making three in the first half against them, and it changed their defense. They panicked, and Brad went to a more traditional defense that he used to run, and they just killed him. And then in the tourney game, Swain, who's now, I think he followed Miller to Texas, he had made three on the season. He hit four or five that game.
Yeah.
Because they just sagged off. Now, yeah. I think he was 5 for 12 or something like that, yeah, which is a good percentage, but you're okay with him taking those.
It's like the dude for Houston. I keep forgetting his name, number 7, the guard. His season high was 40 at 6 against
Yeah. Taylor. Yeah. Yeah. What was his name? Acer?
Yeah. Uzar? Something like that. Yeah.
Uze?
Yeah. So I don't.
Uzar? Gosh,
it's Monday tonight.
Peak Monday.
Definitely feels like a Monday. It's always a Monday when we do this, but definitely feels like a Monday today. It is the first Monday of April. Maybe that's the.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what's going on.
Who are you taking in the national title game? We've talked for 36 minutes. We haven't even made.
I want Florida to win. I do not like Kelvin Sampson. It's not even that much what he did in here. I just think he's a jerk. Heck of a coach, but I just think he's a jerk. I want Florida to win, but I think Houston wins by, I'll go 82-75.
Yeah, if Houston scores 82 points, I think they win.
Yeah.
Give me Florida, though, just to be different. I think their guard play could be the difference. I just think Florida's a little better, but again, Houston plays such tough defense and they rebound, and it's clash of styles that I'm excited to watch. So give me Florida, though.
When do we have a conversation about Florida being a basketball school instead of a football school?
Now? Because I don't know if Florida football is going to be any good this upcoming season. They need to turn things around quick.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy. Kind of they've fallen off. For their expectations.
Yeah. Todd Golden, next hot name, college basketball. He was good at San Francisco, too. He's still a young guy. But now, obviously, he knows what he's doing.
Yep. Yes, he does. So, well, you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
Talk about some sporting events that have happened on this day on April 7th. And I need to put the banner up. There we go. All right. Oh. Wow. On this day, 1928, 44-year-old New York Ranger GM Lester Patrick replaces his injured goaltender in a Stanley Cup game and beats the Montreal Maroons 2-1 in overtime. The Rangers go on to win the series 3-2.
44 years old.
Wow. On this day, 1943, the NFL adopted the free substitution rule. Helmets were made mandatory, and a 10-game schedule for all teams was approved. On this day, there's a lot of Masters today. Kind of wish I would have been on the receiving end of this one today. Who won the 15th U.S. Masters tournament on this day in 1951?
Sam Snead.
Good guess. Ben Hogan won his first of two Masters titles. On this day in 1956, I was just talking to somebody about this on Friday. The 10th NBA championship was held. Despite 30 points from Pistons forward George Yardley, the Philadelphia Warriors beat the Fort Wayne Pistons 99-88. The Warriors wrapped up the series 4-1. Honest to God, at dinner Friday night, I was talking about that game with somebody. Well, somebody's talked to me about it.
I was wondering why you were talking about the 56 finals, but the Fort Wayne thing makes sense.
Yes. On this day, 1963, who won the 27th Masters tournament?
Jack
Nicklaus won his first of his record 6th green jackets. On this day, 1963, public stock offering of 115,000 shares in the Milwaukee Braves was withdrawn after only 13,000 shares were sold to 1,600 new investors. Mm-hmm. On this day, 1969, Dodgers Bill Singer was credited with the first official save against the Cincinnati Reds. On this day, 1970, the MLB's Milwaukee Brewers, formerly Seattle Pilots, Played their first game. They lost to the Angels 12-0. On the day 1977, the Toronto Blue Jays had their first game. They beat Chicago, it says, I assume the White Sox, 9-5. Yeah, because interleague play hadn't started back then, right?
No, nope. Didn't start till 98, I think. Been a while.
On this day, 1979, Houston Astro Ken Forsh no-hit the Atlanta Braves 6-0, becoming, with his brother Bob Forsh, the only MLB siblings to accomplish the feat.
Huh, I wonder if it's been done since. I don't think so.
The Weaver boys didn't do it, right? Only one of them.
I can't imagine Jared or Jeff Weaver no hit anyone.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Jared was good. I was also thinking of the knuckleballer. I got nothing today. I got nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What team? What team? The knuckleballer?
The Necro Bros. If they're even brothers. At this point, I don't even know if they're brothers. And I could just assume they were. Joe and Phil.
Yeah, and it's a unique last name.
Yeah. I don't even know if both of them were pitchers today.
This is an all-time classic podcast episode. Got some crickets. A lot of seniors golf because Jack was on the senior tour. Okay. On this day, 2003, who won the 65th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
2003, that would have been Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse beat Kansas 81-78. The then known as the Orange Men won their first title, and Carmelo was named most outstanding player.
Yeah.
On this day in 2008, who won the 70th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
2008 was the Kansas Jayhawks over the Memphis Tigers.
Yes, they won 75-68, first time since seeding began. All four top seeds advanced to the Final Four. That happened again this year, of course.
Talk about missed free throws.
Yeah. On this day in 2009, who won the 28th NCAA Women's Basketball Championship?
I'm going to go with UConn.
You got it. They beat Louisville 76-54 for their sixth national title. Center Tina Charles was the most outstanding player. On this day in 2014, who won the 76th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
2014 was UConn.
UConn beat Kentucky 60-54, becoming the second time a school has won both men's and women's Division I national titles in the same year.
That was the Shabazz year, right? They were like a seven seed, I think. Yeah.
Yep, and beat a 9 seed Kentucky, 8 or 9.
Yeah,
seed,
yeah.
Who almost won me a lot. Well, they did win me a decent amount of money, but almost won me a lot of money. On this day in 2015, who won the 34th NCAA Women's Basketball Championship?
15. I have a hard time not picking UConn in that one.
It was UConn to beat Notre Dame 63-53. On this day in 2019, who won the 38th NCAA Women's Basketball Championship?
Is that Notre Dame?
Notre Dame lost to Baylor 82-81.
I remember one year, maybe it was like 17, that they had that three at the buzzer that won them.
Right. And on this day, 2019, retired NBA legends Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade played their final home games, both in victories. And Magic Johnson quit as the LA Lakers president of basketball operations. And the Houston Rockets converted an NBA record of 27 three-point field goals in a 149-113 over the Phoenix Suns.
Can't believe they've been out of the league 6 years already.
I know. It doesn't seem like it. Oh, man. And on this day in 2022, the MLB's Cleveland Guardians lose in their first game under their new name, 3-1, to the Royals in Kansas City. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the On This Day, which we actually had a decent amount for first time in a while, it feels like. And those day segments brought to you by, like as every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs that fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tana J Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. I keep saying it. Mother's Day's in a month. Next month in May.
Yeah, it is.
make the perfect gift for your mom, or if you don't want to get your mom that for Mother's Day, you want to get somebody else in your family, a friend, whoever it may be.
Baby mama.
Sure. Why not? Dad's wooden signs make a great gift for anybody in any occasion. It'd be cool to have a, you know, it's Masters week, have a golf man cave and have Thad create you something Masters themed. There you go.
There you go.
You want to get into Masters talk, or do you have blind rankings for me? Or
My blind ranking is Masters related, so I can wait till after we talk and give our
all right and stuff. All right. Yes, this is the, I don't know what edition of the Masters this is this year. It's, I think, the 89th, I think. That's just off the top of my head. Scottie Scheffler, defending champion. He also won back in 2022. Of course, the big, and he's the, and he is the favorite, I believe. Okay. Yes, he's the favorite. And right behind him is a guy named Rory McIlroy, okay, who has done everything in golf there is to do except win the Masters. He has not won a major since 2014.
Except this year. Except this week, I should say.
But I meant to go back. I think, I really do think the Masters in 2017 would have been the first one that we talked about, and we made predictions. I think that started the Morroy J-Man's Book of Prediction Week. If not, it was shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
But it's been close to 40 majors now that you've said that this guy's going to win, and he has not won. So the curse is real, with the worst probably being last year's U.S. Open.
Yeah. He
missed two putts on the last three holes inside of 4 feet.
Yeah, that's when I really started to believe the curse. Was that there. So, but curses usually don't last forever. But we're going to find out.
Pulling the trigger?
I'm pulling it.
All right.
Hey, man's Book of Prediction of the Week this week is Rory Masters. Rory McIlroy will win the Masters this year. And this week, J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
Book it. 4563, isn't it?
I think I'm right on this one.
Are you?
I've don't even remember what I said, but I've been doing it from memory for almost 10 years.
It is 6-1. It is 6-1. Okay.
It just rolls off the tongue now.
I looked
now
it up. I just thought it was 6-3 for some reason. Okay.
It wouldn't have surprised me today if it was 6-3.
But I think the reason... No. I don't know where I got that 3 from. Never mind.
Oh.
Never mind. But speaking of Rory... You can support our podcast and look great doing so by getting some Tan J-Man Show merch at tanjmanshowstore.com. We have this I'm Taking Rory shirt up there, which you can get in white. And it's not let me show, or in gray. It's not let me, there it is. Or in light steel, it's called. Got multiple sizes there, $19.99 before shipping and handling. But you can get that nice Rory McIlroy, I'm Taking Rory, with the state of Georgia on front. Tan J-Man Show logo on the back. So,
book it.
I need to make an order. It's been a while. So, one of my 25 bold predictions for 2025 was that Victor Hovland was going to win the green jacket this year. Even though he did win a tournament a couple weeks ago, I am not going in that direction now. I'm looking at the betting odds here. Rory's number 2. John Rahm of Live Golf's number 3. Colin Morikawa 4.
Rahm just won a couple years ago, right? 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. He has won at Ludwig Aberg, Abar. He's 18-1. He's a young stud in golf. Hasn't won a major yet, but he probably wouldn't win many. Xander Schauffele won 2 majors last year. He's up there. Bryson DeChambeau, Live Golf's Bryson DeChambeau, last year's U.S. Open winner. He's up there, of course, with his distance. You can never count him out. Let me see some other guys here in the mix. Justin Thomas, right behind Bryson DeChambeau. Joaquin Neenum, who's also Live Golf. A lot of Live Golf guys up there. Hideki Matsuyama. Brooks Koepka down at 11th favorites.
Ooh
man, that's kind of enticing to put something on Brooks there. Jordan Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood, and Shane Lowry. There's Victor Hovland. Let's see where is Phil? Phil's at +12,000 odds. He's been playing better, but I don't know if he's got what it takes to be in contention this week. Man, it's crazy. Like Bubba Watson, former two-time Masters champ, he's plus 50,000 odds. But it's good. It should be a fun tournament, like it usually is. I'm gonna go with Ludvig. I think Ludvig gets his first major title. Like I said, I think it's his first of many.
How old is Ludvig?
He is. He's got to be young 20s. Let's see. He's Swedish. He's 25. He'll turn 26 in October. 6'3".
Dang.
Pretty tall for a golfer. So, of course, no Tiger Woods. This year's Masters. I don't think we'll see Tiger at all this year. Compete with his Achilles blowing out. So, but it's gonna be a fun tournament. I think the weather is supposed to be good. Yeah, Fleetwood is about 13th or 14th there, I think, on the betting odds. Yeah, he's 13th right behind Jordan Spieth there. So tied with Shane Lowry, Victor Hovland, and Patrick Cantlay. I should say all names out probably in the mix. So my dad's sleeper. Let me see where I can find him at. It's Corey Connors. He's at 7,500. That's better odds than I thought Corey Connors would have.
Never heard of him.
He wins the tournament the week before the Masters. He seems to quite often. That's why my dad likes to pick him. This year it was Brian Harman won. Fourth year out of the last five, my boy Ricky Fowler is not in the Masters.
Time to hang it up.
Which is crazy because two of his last three appearances in the Masters, he's had top five finish.
Yeah.
So he's got to get there. And it's wild. The guy makes 90% of his cuts, but he can't do anything on the weekend. He just doesn't close on the weekend, and yeah, he's gonna have to start doing that soon.
I bet the pressure gets to him a little bit too.
Probably. I mean, he's had a good career, but nowhere near where everybody thought he would, or nowhere near where his career should be. Really, to be honest.
So, yeah.
But Master, one of my favorite weeks. I'm hoping to watch quite a bit of it on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So. Yeah.
Blind ranking this week, I have five winners this century.
Okay.
So,
what's the criteria for me to rank these?
Overall career.
Okay.
Yeah. Starting with Bubba Watson.
Like two-time Masters champ. He's won a few big other tournaments, but no other majors. I remember in middle school when he came on the scene because he hit a pink driver, hit it longer than anybody on tour, and he liked to just shape the ball over the course. I'm putting Bubba at 4.
Okay.
Almost put him at 5, but I think there'll be somebody else that's behind.
All right. Zach Johnson.
I will put Zach at 3. The only reason I'm putting him over Bubba is he has two major titles, one Masters and one British Open. So, all right. Yeah.
Sergio.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to put him at 5 because I cannot put him at 2. He's one-time major winner. Was at the Masters. He's having a good year this year at LIV. He's won a couple times. He's playing really well, but good career, but kind of like Ricky, even though he's had a better career than Ricky, but kind of like Ricky, he came on the scene so hot when he was young. Going toe-to-toe with Tiger back in the day at the PGA Championship in Medina. Everybody thought, oh, my gosh, this guy's the next big thing, and it never really transpired. Good career, but not great career.
Jordan Spieth.
Well, I major-wise, I feel good about putting him at number 2. I mean, he's won 4 majors, I believe. The only one he hadn't won for the Grand Slam is the PGA. But his career is really – kind of went downhill since his last major victory. But he's talented, so yeah, I'll put him at 2.
Last one here, Dustin Johnson.
Man, there's no clear-cut number 1 on this list.
That's really not.
I'm going with Dustin at number 1, U.S. Open winner, Masters winner. Now plays at LIV. He's won there this year, which he needed to because LIV does relegate guys every year, and he was under the line. Coming into the year. So good thing he got it going, even though he's a captain of his team. which is kind of weird. Yeah, if I had to re-rank them, knowing now, I think I put Bubba 5, even though he has more majors than Sergio. But Sergio 3, Zach 4, probably Spieth 1, Justin 2, probably. But that's a good list. That was a tough one.
If he would have gotten relegated, would he have just gone back to the PGA?
I don't know. Those rules haven't been stated yet. Like,
would they have accepted him back in the PGA?
That's a good question, too. He might have just retired.
Yeah.
Because he's got a lot of money. He doesn't seem – I shouldn't speak. I don't know the guy personally, but he doesn't seem too motivated.
Yeah.
Just plays golf because he's good at it, type thing. But, you know, one of my bold predictions for 2025 was that the PGA Tour and LIV Golf are going to come to agreement. That took two big steps backwards last week. So LIV's proposal to invest into the tour, I think it was $1.2 billion, was denied by the tour because they had two clauses that the PGA Tour didn't want. One was for LIV to keep operating as they are. And the other one was for their the CEO of LIV Golf to become a co-chair of the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah. So, that'd be a no-go for me.
Yep. So we'll see what happens there. It's like I was talking with good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch. The fans are the ones who suffer from all this because LIV's just going to keep getting guys. You know, they're going to keep throwing out money, and especially if it's somebody who has a couple major victories and is getting a little older, they might think, well, I got these major victories, so I can play in these other majors at least for X amount of years going forward. I'm going to grab money.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wish they could figure out a way to, and they are lightening up a little bit, like I think it's the US Open and the British Open now that LIV guys can qualify for it now. Go through qualifications and different things, whereas before they couldn't even do that.
Yeah,
unless they had previously won and were exempt. So, yeah, but Masters Week's always fun to see. Even a week, I think a lot of non-golf fans even tune in a little bit just to see the beauty of the course, or especially when Tiger was in the hunt, he would get a lot of non-golf fan eyeballs on the product. But don't really have that without him.
So, yeah.
Good blind ranking segment this week. I like that one. And the blind ranking segment is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company by giving Barbara Vans Weinsberg a call today at 574-210-3815.
Yeah, I didn't want to put Tiger on there because he would have been a clear-cut one. Yes,
Phil would have been two if Tiger wasn't on there. But
and I didn't want to put Danny Willett on there because he would have been a clear-cut five. So, yeah.
Willett.
Yeah.
Trevor Immelman.
Yeah. I almost put him on there.
There's a couple others. So, yeah. Yeah, but... all right, birdie or a bogey, J-Man, who is the oldest men's Division I head coach to win a national title?
Two coaches popped into my brain. Neither are probably correct. I was going back through this century of who won, and it probably didn't even happen this century. But my guess is Jim Calhoun.
You got a birdie, my friend.
Boom.
The other one, 68 years old and 329 days when they won in 2011.
Now, Sampson
can pass him tonight if he wants.
Okay. The other one was Roy Williams because I didn't know, but he didn't win one since 2009. So,
you know who popped in my head when I was given this question? Calhoun was my second answer. My first answer was Gary Williams of Maryland.
I didn't even think about him.
But he wasn't. So.
Coach K in 2015, I thought about two, but I was, eh. Oh, man, yeah, Calhoun was old.
You just took a commanding lead. Three birdie or bogey. I'm in trouble. Well, I haven't got birdie yet.
I don't think you have.
I haven't.
I think that might be my first one of the year. I think I've got a par or two.
I think I've only got like one par.
You're a lot easier grader on me than I am you. So maybe I'll have to.
I don't know. I feel like you lob me some softballs sometimes. I whiff. I swing and whiff. So
we just overthink it. I'm in shock that I got it. But
I wonder how we would do as a team.
I think if we put both of our brains together, it'd be the scariest thing this world's ever seen. And maybe we'd get lucky and be able to answer some correctly. But thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.